But I've been noticing that we take a lot of things for granted, don't we? One of the things I was thinking that we take for granted is our water. I mean, the water here in Memphis, Tennessee is some of the best water, not in the country, but in the world. People envy us. Just think all the countries that don't have clean water, that they can't even have running water, and they're having to have other countries come in and just, you know, put in facilities that will get them some water, even for a short time. But even Nashville, Tennessee is envious of our water. We might be envious of the Titans and that sort of thing, but we've got the water. And it comes from this aquifer, and it's called the Memphis Sands. And we are blessed. But I think most of us, when we go to get a glass of water, we don't think about it. We don't praise God for it. We don't really think about it daily, do we? I mean, I don't think we do. We kind of take it for granted. Maybe not always, but I believe we do. And even in our prayer life, we take it for granted sometimes. And we're going to be talking about today the ritual of saying the Lord's Prayer, which is what we're going to be breaking down today. And even when we pray this prayer that we've known forever and we've recited so many times, it kind of loses its meaning. We just kind of say the words. But hopefully not today. And hopefully after today, you will think of the Lord's Prayer differently. And we're going to examine what the Lord's Prayer means, and when Jesus taught us to pray it as a model of prayer, why in the world did he want us to pray this prayer, not word for word, but the structure of this prayer and the content of this prayer? Now, you see it in Matthew, and Jesus did not like the way the religious leaders were praying. They would get up, and they would be in the public place, and they're called on to pray. They had all these flowery words. And a lot of it was very repetitive and meaningless, really. But it made them sound flowery. It made them sound poetic. And so Jesus could not stand the way they prayed. I mean, honestly did not like it. And so he called them down on it and said they're pious and hypocrites for the way they pray. I'd like to have heard some of those prayers, so I don't ever pray that way. But even in Luke, he tells the disciples about this, and they actually asked him, so then how do we pray if you don't like us to pray that way? And Jesus said, do not do it that way, talking about how the Sadducees and others prayed. They don't do it that way, and this is how you do it. But you know, we have prayed it 1,000 times, and again, sometimes we take it for granted. We can say the Lord's Prayer over and over and over, and sometimes be thinking about what we're going to do that afternoon, what we need to do when we get home, and we can just take this beautiful prayer for granted. Matthew 6-7 says, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So he does not want meaningless words and a big wordy prayer. He wants a prayer of the heart, and we're going to talk about what that looks like. And so he gave the disciples, and we are the disciples, this model of prayer and the essentials of prayer and what God wants to hear and what keeps us from being like the Sadducees and being hypocritical and just trying to impress the crowd, which is the last thing we want to do. So I'm going to read it from the King James Version. I very seldom to never read from the King James Version. That's my choice to do, but it's the only way to read it as far as I'm concerned, because it's the way we've all learned it since we were little children. Matthew 6:9-13. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I just got to say, I always add that extra ever. It is not in the King James Version, but doesn't it sound nice? Forever and ever. I just like it. A lot of people do it. But there are 8 pieces of revelation here that we need to put our attention on today, because this is the perfect model of prayer. It's the perfect model of prayer because our Lord and Savior told us so. And so we could easily see why he called it that. The first line is, our Father who art in heaven. And this is the prayer of connection. It connects us with God, and it names God as being in relationship with us. It reminds us that we are in relationship with a God who loves us very, very much. And so immediately we turn and in this prayer, it calls God out as a father, a loving, kind, and strong father. And so it lets us know that we are not just apart from God, but we are in relationship as a child of God. So this opening line reminds us, again, how much God loves us and cares for us as a child. And so we can trust and rely on God as being a loving parent, just like a child would rely and trust a parent, a good parent. This is the relationship that is set up from the very first. Then the second one is Hallowed be thy name, which means holy. Hallowed is holy. Holy is your name, meaning sacred or holy. This prayer is refocusing off of ourselves and looking directly at God, which is really important. So Jesus wants us to very quickly in this prayer not to be thinking of ourselves, but to be thinking of God. So instead of looking at ourselves, we say, Hallowed be thy name. It's not asking for what I need this week, and it's not asking for what our neighbors need. It is setting up the prayer by saying, Holy is your name. And so it's a prayer of reverence and respect. And this powerful presence to whom this prayer is an ode of homage, it lets us know that we rejoice in who God is. Now, Jesus encourages us to talk about God again at the start of the prayer instead of ourselves. So it sets us apart and helps us refocus on God and not ourselves. Now, I've shared before, and I think it was the last time I preached on it, might have been the first time on prayer, I use the words, an easy way to pray is, if you're trying to say a prayer wanting to know what God wants, an easy way to remember it is help, thanks, and wow. And that is Anne Lamott. I did not make that up. Anne Lamott, which is a great Christian writer. I went to a church, visited a church the other day, used the same thing. And so that is a good way of looking at it. But the wow part is the praise part. When she said wow, that we praise God. And that's what this is saying, Hallowed be thy name. We praise your name. We worship you because you are worthy of being worshiped. So you can see how the first few lines, we pour out ourselves and let God know how much we love God, how much we trust God, how much we revere God, how God is sacred. So when we say these things in the beginning, Hallowed be thy name, we're kind of like this. It is very important that we are praising God and God knows that we are praising. So we refocus by praising God and praising the name of our God. And we can think of the names that God is. God is called, of course, is our creator. He's the great counselor, protector, guide, parent, and best friend. And so we are setting it up in our hearts to let God know that and to remind ourselves. So Jesus wants us to cherish who God is in us. Then we've got the revelation of this third verse, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is a prayer of cooperation and surrender. And how many times we need surrender, very important. The kingdom come, thy will be done. And you know that a lot of times we want our own will. And it's hard to know what God's will is sometimes. And it can be a mystery. And so when we're saying, Thy will be done, we are trusting God that God's will is the right way. And even though we don't know what God's will is sometimes, we can guess, we trust God. Very important. So we not only cooperate with whatever God's will is, that we give we surrender ourselves to complete trust. Much of God's will, again, is a mystery to be revealed. And we'll maybe not know it on this side of earth. But we trust and we surrender. So do you remember praying as a child on your knees by the bed? Did you guys do this as a little? You know, get it on the knees. And, you know, we can't do it now because we can't get back up. I know. I've tried. You can kind of climb your way up. You know, you would never want the fishers to try this right now. They just need to. Y'all just do it in the bed, whatever. Because they couldn't get back up right now. But there is such innocence and such trust as little children, because our parents would teach us this prayer that all of us probably learned, Now lay me down to sleep. You know the prayer? Did y'all say that prayer? So So it's kind of like the Lord's Prayer. It was our first go-to prayer that we had. We would say it and recite it. And probably after, you know, we said it a couple hundred times and our parents would come in, we'd really want to kind of get rid of our parents. So we'd say it real quick, now lay me down, sleep, pray the Lord's Prayer. Okay. And it would kind of be rote to us as well as the Lord's Prayer can be. But it was our first lesson at surrendering to an entity that we could not see nor we could understand. And as for a small child, that is a very big step. And so to me, it is a beautiful prayer because it introduces us how to pray to God. And again, as a child, we're very trusting. The fourth revelation is this: on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is a prayer of emulation. Jesus wants us to pray a prayer that emulates what heaven would be like, which we imagine heaven to be like down here on earth. And so Jesus is wanting us to imagine maybe how the business in heaven is. If you can imagine how it would be in heaven, then we want to be that way here as much as possible. So to pray for earth to be more like heaven in modern terms, it might sound something like this: God, make me more loving and forgiving. Help me and others to see all people more through your eyes. That is a way of bringing the kingdom of God to earth, don't you think? Don't you think if we pray, God, help those people who can't help themselves, that that would be bringing heaven down to earth? If we start praying, God, be with those people who are hurt by violence, that would be, and help us to not make mistakes anymore and to try to do something to help ward off that kind of violence. Don't you think that's bringing heaven to earth? So we prayed those type of prayers. What do we want earth to be like, and how can we make it more heavenly? Pray for those things. And then number five is, give us this day our daily bread. Now, this is a prayer of daily dependence, that we depend on God and Christ daily. And it's important to remember that. So ask God to keep you supplied with the daily bread you will need in this life. And it can be any essential. It doesn't have to be just bread, but it can be, God, I'm needing rest. I'm so tired. Give me this day of rest. Or God, I am really dealing with a lot of anxiety right now. I'm even going through a little bit of depression. God, help me today to get through this. Give me some strength, Lord. So we can pray those, but of course also, It also allows us to pray for work and those things that help us put our daily bread on the table. And so many of us will pray for work or pray for our jobs. For the last 6 months, I've prayed for my son and his work, or lack thereof. And I've prayed that he would be interested in something. And it doesn't matter how much Chris and I recommend and toss out things to him. It doesn't matter how many things, because Trevor will just listen and nod, but nothing seems to land. And so, because we are so wise and such good parents, it's only taken us, well, I won't even name how many years, to decide that we can't make up his mind for him. It has to come from him. So I've gotten on my knees and I pray every single day, particularly since as a church we've been praying. I've done every single day. Help Trevor something to wake him up, something that he will be interested in, something that maybe he could have a career in, so he could provide his own daily bread and pay for it. That has been my prayer. Amen? Amen. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Scott. So he is taking a few courses, and this is just in this last week. He began to take a few courses in college, and we did say, would you like to take these classes and take a few? And he said, yeah, might as well. And so we helped him pick a few classes, and he came in Friday, just this past Friday, and walked into the door, and he said, I had a great time at school today. It was awesome. I love my IT class. Do you know that we took apart a computer and put it back? He said, I could see myself making a living at this. Praise God. I mean, prayers are being answered. I have never heard him say that in his lifetime, and he's 29. So I'm going to continue our daily prayer. And I'm so glad that he's jazzed up. And I believe God is waking him up. You know, we've stopped bugging him. We've just tried to help him and give him opportunities and encouraging him. But prayers are being answered. Number six, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have a debts against us. Now, you've heard it, trespasses, debts, sins. We're going to say trespasses today, but it's basically all the same thing. It's really about sin, people that sin against us. People that owe us something, people that trespass against us, all about the same in nature. So, but it's really about sin. And do you remember what I call sin, what the synonym for sin is? Anybody remember? Well, that's what I'm going to tell you again. Sin is soul in need, S-I-N, soul in need. So that's how I look at sin. And this is a prayer of confession, a very important part of prayer. And Jesus would never leave this out, because this is one of the key places in prayer that we need not to forget. Because unless we can ask for forgiveness ourselves, which the first part of this does, it asks for forgiveness of ourselves from others and for God to forgive us. And when we do that, God listens. God listens, because God wants an honest, humble heart. Very important. So when we do that, when we are hurt so bad that we can say, I forgive them, you may not want to be hanging out with them because they're not good for you, but when you can say, I forgive them, then that is called grace. You're giving them grace. And it also says in the Bible that if we cannot forgive someone, that God will not forgive us. So whether you become their best friends again or not, that's another thing, and I've preached on that recently. But God wants us to be able to forgive, because it's freedom and it's purifying our spirit. When we forgive others, it purifies us as well. So the second part of this is forgive all those who trespass and sin against us, first part. So it is a prayer also of release. So it's releasing them and also freeing us up as well. It's about asking for our hurts and our letdowns. It's releasing it. But God does not want us to feel guilty at all. And so that's why God wants us to pray this prayer. And sometimes we can justify anything we do, but God wants us to pray this prayer so that we can release ourselves. God gives us grace and wants us to use grace just like we are given grace. Because if we don't, then we will suffer. And when we ask for forgiveness for God, it's like vapor. As soon as we do it, it's vapor. It goes away. It does not come back. God does not bring it back up. God does not say, but do you remember the time? It's not like that. God said it's gone. So we use that as an example of how we should forgive as well. Number seven, the revelation from seven. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the prayer of protection. We are being protected on this. So we ask God that if we are tempted with, there's so many things that we can be tempted with. Some people say you can be tempted with just not doing enough, just barely getting by. Sometimes we just do a little bit of something when we could have done more. You can be tempted to not just kind of be nice to somebody, but not really bless them by being gracious with them. But I was in the hospital this past week, and I visited a young man, and I walked in, and he was probably, I think he was 32, and I asked him, I said, what are you here for, which I always ask, and he said, well, to tell you the truth, to be honest with you, I'm here for my drinking. I said, really? I said, well, I appreciate your honesty, and I sat down. Typically, we'll sit down when I get somebody like this to see if they wanted to talk, and he seemed to want to talk. So we talked about AA and his wanting to really clean up, and he had gone through this a few times before. He had parents, a father and a mother, that both were drinkers, and so he really emulated that, and he was trying to get cleaned up, but he was telling me how hard it was. And I encouraged him, asked him if he had a church home, and he did not, and I asked him where he lived and encouraged him to go to a church that was close by that I thought he might could hook up with. He wasn't much of a believer, but he said he would consider it. But the prayer that I hope he would pray would be, Lord, help me not to drink. I know it is poison to me, but I need you to put good people in my path who don't tempt me and give me the strength to say no. Help me not to fall back into my dark ways. Another way to say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So you get that we don't have to say these exact words, but when we pray, we're to emulate, model the Lord's Prayer. We can say the exact words, but these words are more directly from our hearts in our own situation. So the last line in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, is, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." And this is a prayer of victory. It reminds us that no matter what is going on in the world, that God will win. And it is still being played out, but God will win. And it is a reminder that God's kingdom, the power and glory, will be the only one that will last forever. All the things that are going on now in the world that have always gone on in the world, all the chaos that we experience, it will all go away because God's will be done and God's plan will go through. And when we live and pray to the glory of God, to glorify God, then we will be blessed and our blessings will overflow when we start really getting this. So don't take the Lord's Prayer for granted, because there is much meaning in it. Our Lord and Savior said, pray like this. Use this as an example, and it will dwell in your soul, and let it dwell in your soul. And each time you say it, remember what we've talked about today and the meaning of the words. Years ago, as a new minister, I was by the bedside of a woman who had probably had a day or two to live. And her eyes were closed when I came in. The family was all around, and they asked me to pray for her, and I prayed for her. And the very end of my prayer, I said the Lord's Prayer. She was sitting there. I just thought she was unconscious or asleep. And as I started praying the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven," her lips started moving. Her lips started moving. She did not open her eyes, but she prayed right along with me, just her lips moving. And she recited that prayer along with me, word for word. She did not take the Lord's Prayer for granted. And when I said, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, amen," she said it right along with me. Amen.